B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
What a call, Sosi. We're going back, baby. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags. Start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. Can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be.
You have been as excited maybe as you've been in a long time. What was it about this game, this moment, that made you produce that emotion for you?
It was just the odds were stacked against us. And it hasn't been that way for us for a while. And it certainly was this year. You know, we started off so slow. The last four games have been our best games. We ran it great in Buffalo. We threw it pretty good in the Jets. We really balanced. Defense playing really well. Played great against Chargers last week. And then, you know, this is a game offensively we did a good job. You know, we had a couple little screw-ups, but pretty good for the most part. And then, you know, defensively, they hung on and played their butts off. You know, shut them out in the first half, which was pretty spectacular. And you're not going to shut this team out, you know, for four quarters. You know, certainly not at home. And it was a great team win.
All right, and here we go to discuss Felger and Maz on an MLK Day Monday. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you'll see that I am on location. I've been socked out of Logan. It's a complete mess. I was traveling this weekend, and flight was delayed today. So instead of missing the show, I decided to fire up the remote, and here we go. So I am parts unknown. Big Jim Murray and Maz are in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester, fellas. What a freaking ball game that was last night. Who wants to start? Maz.
I'll go first. Absolutely. I mean, you know, to me, just off the top of my head, it's one of the 10 greatest games I've ever seen. And, you know, off the charts, just absolutely phenomenal, incredible theater for the game itself. And if you remember earlier in the year, at one point, Mike, you asked us and, you know, or we discussed the where do you put this Patriots team in this era in terms of their problems? And I think I said to you, they're one of the five worst teams of the Belichick-Brady era. And during the regular season, I think they were. I'm not changing my opinion on that. They had a lackluster regular season. They have now become one of my three favorite Patriot teams of all time.
Wow.
Really. Given what they have accomplished to get back to the Super Bowl, which is no small feat, given the obstacles that presented themselves over time for other teams in the league coming off a Super Bowl loss, you just don't see this happen. You don't see it happen, and you don't see it happen with a 41-year-old quarterback and a coach that's in his late 60s and a team that looked like it was going downhill. That's what it looked like. And for them to win that game under the circumstances after beating the Chargers, just absolutely phenomenal theater and phenomenal accomplishment.
Yeah, top five Patriot win during this era. They show big, juicy plums. And credit to Ted Johnson, who was on with you guys, I think, in the last couple of weeks when he said this team has flipped a switch. I didn't really believe it, but they are two completely different teams, what you've seen the last couple of weeks here in the postseason and what we were looking at in the regular season, because I'm with Maz and I'm not coming off of it either. During the regular season, I think they underachieved. I think that they were lucky to get the number two spot and get the bye. But since that point, you know, they wrapped it up. How much can you really take out of those late season wins against Buffalo and the Jets, where Ted said, you know, they figured something out offensively? Like, okay, I had to take that with a grain of salt. Clearly they did, because they are a completely different team, what you've seen against Kansas City and the Chargers.
What's the takeaway last night? What's the takeaway last night? What was the key to the game? What, you know, when you walk away from that game, what do you say? You'd say, this, you know, this is what I'm going to be left with just from last night. I'm not talking about the season. Last night's AFC Championship game win.
Tom Brady and Julian Edelman on third down. Got to have it third down late in the game, fourth quarter, and in that overtime. That's vintage Brady. That's as good as he's been since, you know, the 28-3 comeback against Atlanta, the fourth quarter against the Seattle Seahawks. Considering that team where they were, how Arrowhead's been a house of horrors, how he's looked for most of the year, it's Brady on third down.
I mean, to me, big-time plays from big-time players, that to me was the Belichick-Brady era in a nutshell, those final couple of drives, particularly the one in overtime. Third down, game on the line, Brady to Edelman. Third down, game on the line, Brady to Gronk. You know, that to me was what it was. It was the big-time plays from big time players in a hostile environment, mental toughness. Like, there are only a handful of players that can make those kinds of plays in those kinds of circumstances. And that's what, to me, that was the one that left a mark.
Yeah, third down. I think the game is clearly won and lost on third down on both sides of the ball. The Patriots were just terrific in the first half. Is this right? 7 of 9 on third down in the first half?
I think that's right.
7 of 9 in the first half, while the Chiefs were 1 of 4 in the first half. And we just go beyond the numbers, you know, and not just in the first half, for the whole game. The Patriots were 13 of 19. That's almost 70% on third down. But just the individual plays. I mean, how many times did they hand it off to White early on third down before, you know, on a 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, not your typical running situations. He picks them up. Then he started to throw to White. Remember a couple of those little tough James White catches that he made sort of on the back shoulder or reaching behind him with the linebacker?
Spinning.
Oh, my God. So those were third down plays. Then you get to the fourth quarter, and, of course, Hogan with some catches out of his boobs on third down. The big Gronkowski ball down the left sideline, 3rd and 5. That last drive, they converted 3rd and 10, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 10, as you guys mentioned. Third down. That was what this game was about. And meanwhile, on the other side, again, KC in the first half, 1 of 4 on third down. And that included that sequence where they complete that one long ball to Hill and they get down there. Mahomes misses the running back for what should have been an easy touchdown. And then on third down, he takes a sack out of field goal range. And that whole sequence, so the way the Patriots played defensively on third down, the way they played offensively on third down, and that was all just sort of money on the table plays, right? That's when that comes up, and that's when that Patriot thing came up in that game. It was the clutch plays, the third down plays. To me, that was the ball game.
Oh, my gosh, it really was unbelievable. And that sequence at the end of the half, Mahomes taking that sack, I mean, that's just a... That's an inexcusable mistake. I mean, I would put that akin to Brady taking a sack in Miami, for crying out loud, and let the clock run out at halftime. Just so enormous mistakes. And despite all that, like, you know, I understand we're in a pain. Give the Chiefs credit too, man. They exploded for 31 points. They made that a game.
Oh, you look at the stat.
They took the lead second half.
If you look at the stat sheet without looking at the score, you would think the Patriots would have blown Kansas City out, you know, like 45-10, especially when you look at time of possession, which was 2-1. It was like 43 to 21 minutes or whatever it was. But that just shows you how explosive that Kansas City offense was, where it was bang, score in 2 minutes, bang, score in 2 minutes. Their longest drive was like 4 and change last night.
44-21 time of possession. 44-21.
I like the offensive plays. The Pats ran 94, as Maz pointed out in our email, 94 offensive plays. The Chiefs, 47.
They ran two plays for everyone the Chiefs ran.
That's freaking ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And again, and think of what it took to win the game.
Okay, what was the role of officiating in this ball game? What was the role of officiating? Where is that on your list?
Bad on both sides. It's bad on both sides. It was. You know, look, I know you, I saw you tweeting about it. I know you were nuts about it on FanCred last night. It's one of the worst roughing the passer calls you will ever see in your life watching the NFL. But there was also one that wasn't called that benefited the Chiefs in their last touchdown drive, where you have a clear offensive pass interference and a pick. It's not called. Belichick loses his mind. He smashes the tablet over it. The officiating was bad in that game and in the NFC Championship game. It was not a good day for the league when it came to the officials.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was
fun. I'm not asking about that.
Go ahead, Mike.
Do you think it was equal in the game? Yeah, do you think it was equal in the game last night, Murray?
I do. Yeah, I do. And if you want to call me a honk, have at it. I think it was bad for both teams.
I mean, if we're adding in replays and everything else, I think the Patriots caught a break or two. Nothing egregious, but like to me on the, you know, on the Edelman play on the punt, I didn't think the ball hit him. But that's not really the question. The question is whether or not the replay was conclusive.
So I've calmed down from last night a little bit. You got some nice officiating, folks. It's okay. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, and I can't remember what I said last night, but I would never sit here and say that you didn't deserve to win. You know, there were too many big plays, too many clutch plays that you came through in to say, and you're too good, and, you know, you're an all-time team doing your thing when it matters most. So I'm not sitting here saying you didn't deserve it. But I think you got the better of the officiating. And I frankly don't even think it's close. And not that you got the benefit of bad calls. I mean, there were really close calls that they probably got right. But boy, man, like 1 millimeter could have gone the other way. You know, that one-handed Hogan catch on 3rd and 8. Boy, that was, you know, that was a millimeter here or there. You got it. I thought the Edelman reversal on the punt was a big play that they got wrong, that there was just not inconvertible or, you know, whatever that word is. There just wasn't definitive proof on the video there that he did not touch it. And I think that was a real break. And I think people are misportraying that here today. Like, well, a minute later, they got the ball back and scored, so it was really moot, which is why? What if Brady would have thrown that interception after the Chiefs scored? What if they got to keep that punt? The Chiefs score a field goal or a touchdown. Then they kick off, the Patriots, and then Brady throws the interception, and the Chiefs get a whole nother possession. You don't know how that was going to play out. So, no, the Chiefs lost a possession there, no matter how you slice it. That was a huge, huge play that they overreached on. Sorry, they overreached. There was no clear evidence there to overturn that call.
So I'm with you on that. I was stunned that they overturned it, because in the league, typically something like that, where, because there was times, even though I didn't think it touched him, there were some shots, it's like, oh man, it hit his thumb, I think. And so even in the postgame last night, Beadle and I thought, like, it didn't touch him, but man, that typically, you can't overturn that in that stadium with that home environment, those people losing their minds like that. I was stunned.
To me, this is not, I mean, if you think it takes away from the win, fine. I don't care. You got the benefit of the close calls. Some were right. Some were wrong. They weren't perfect on the other side either. But boy, you got some nice officiating. You got some nice officiating. You got some good calls, and it helped you win. And if that makes you want to cry, then go cry. Go ahead. Cry all day if you want. You got some good breaks on the officiating. 617-779-0985. But that doesn't mean you don't deserve to win. You deserve to win. Too many big plays in big moments where you were just yourself. And just overall, Maz, I mean, I'm with you. Another all-time night. You know, just another. How many of these have we had?
Oh, my gosh. It's ridiculous.
And there's just another one where you're freaking breathless in the game. You know, you show up the next day to go over it, and you've got, you know, just 30 plays. I don't know. I just pulled that number out of my hat. 20 plays you could say could have changed the game one way or the other, that were close calls or clutch plays or choke plays on the other side. I mean, just it's just an incredible team and another incredible night. And so we're going to talk about it, folks. Once again, I'm on location, socked out of Logan. Those guys are back in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. To your phones right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Short motion by Edelman. Shotgun snap on 3rd and 10 for Brady. In the pocket. Throws down the middle. Edelman open to midfield. Makes the catch. And then lunges forward across the 45. He took a shot from Sorensen. But he got away from Fuller and company. And the Patriots have a fresh set of downs.
He likes Squirrel. I love Squirrel. I tell you what. He throws the hand up. It's a look route inside. Brady sees it. It's an audible by Edelman. Mid-route. Hands up. Brady sticks it on him. The Iron Man on a big 3rd down conversion. 3rd down. And he picks up 20.
Patriots to the 3rd and 10. From the 45, first series of overtime. Shotgun snap for Brady, firing down the middle, caught by Edelman on the run to the left side of the 30. He had just enough separation to make that catch with Charvarius Ward, the youngster out of Middle Tennessee State, unable to close the narrow gap.
Having flashbacks to the Atlanta game late, where they couldn't do anything about Edelman on the drag routes, left drag route right. That's a 15-yard dagger on 3rd and 10 again.
White off the left side of Brady.
Ball away.
Sets the protections. Waits on the snap from Andrews. 3rd and 10. In the pocket. Throws down the middle. Gronk makes the catch at the 20 and is tackled. Caught at the shoelaces by Berry as he skids to the 15. First down for New England.
Feed him. Feed the big boy. He is filling it. It is a slant. He almost stepped through it. The ball's at the tip of the 15.
and you're 15 yards away.
Third and long conversions times three on this drive in overtime.
How do you stay so calm in the biggest moments, especially when your team's down and you got to drive the team right back?
Part of playing sports and is just, you know, staying in the moment. And, you know, we always say one play at a time. You can't make up for things that have happened in the past. And you just got to think about what you're going to do moving forward. And you just, you know, start of the fourth quarter, they scored, you know, we're up three to start the fourth quarter. And I said, God, what a great opportunity, you know, to be against this team, to be ahead three in the fourth quarter with a chance to win is pretty sweet. You know, they blew so many teams out this year. It's just a great opportunity for us, and we took advantage of it.
Third and 10. Third down all night long for the Patriots in that ballgame. That was the key to the game. Felger Mass here on the Monday after Patriots headed to the Super Bowl. We're going to go right to your reaction here as promised. You know the number. You're all loaded up. As people jump off, you jump on, and we'll talk to you all day long. Jimmy, I got some new technology here, so just work with me. Hopefully this works. I'm going to pop up. Okay, so that didn't work. Would you pop up Frank the Tank for me? Let us lead us off. Go ahead. Hi, Frank. Hello? What do you got?
Okay. Look, I think, you know, Mike, you're gonna have your reasoning to disagree with the running game or whatever, but as I told Jim on Saturday morning, I thought that the offensive line needed to bring the hate. I thought they did. I thought the defense needed to come up and smack Cincinnati in the mouth. I think they pretty much handled that in the first half. The second half was a little bit of a different story, but what are you going to do? Kansas City's a great team. And, you know, the running backs, I think they did their job, Mike. I think they did their job very well. Could it have been any guys off the street? Yeah, fine. I'm not going to be here to argue with that with you. But they did their jobs, and by far the biggest boob of the entire night, call it whatever you want, referees calls, this or that, lining up in the neutral zone in the fourth quarter.
Okay, Frank, I'm going to stop you there. We'll get to Jones coming up in a minute. The running back story, the running game, the running back story. I know, Murray, you and I can argue this all night long, every day. What are your thoughts? What did last night show you?
Well, it showed you the importance of the running game, not one particular back, because, again, look at the time of possession and how the Chiefs' offense struggled in that first half. Look, even though they were able to score as quickly as they did, the Chiefs in the second half, to take away some of those possessions from the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes because of their explosiveness, it obviously mattered. And credit to the offense dominant in these two playoff games.
Mass?
No, absolutely. I mean, look, and to me, there was a, you know, there was also a wear and tear effect. You just punished them. And so that by the end of the game, and in some ways like the Atlanta Super Bowl, that the other team's defense was just worn down. You beat the snot out of them, and you were going to run them over. So the physicality part of it, absolute factor. I thought Michelle ran hard. Now, again, he disappeared in the fourth quarter. He wasn't even on the field.
Give me your real Michelle thoughts. Come on.
Okay, so look, I thought Sonny Michelle ran hard, but when the game was on the line and in the second half and the game opened up, Rex Burkhead was in the backfield. Like, Sonny Michelle was nowhere to be found because he's not a factor in the passing game, and he's a one-dimensional player right now.
Well, shame on them because it blew up in their face on that fourth and one where they hand off to Burkhead. I didn't like the play. I'm glad that they went for it at the time. You know, you're on the road. You're the underdog in this game, blah, blah, blah. But Rex Burkhead shouldn't have been the guy that they handed off to in that situation. Michelle should have been in there for that play.
But you know what, Murray? I'm not sure it'd been Michelle either. Like, he's not a short yardage guy either. Like, honestly, I was looking for either a sneak or James Devlin on that dive that has worked for them. But to me, the idea that I hated that play too. I'm just not sure that, I'm not sure they really have that. Their best chance for that to me is either, now look, Burkhead picked it up. Not in the fourth and one, but later on, he was effective. So I don't know what they do there in the Super Bowl, whether it's Devlin or Brady on a sneak.
Was Michelle hurt? I heard the midday guy talking a little bit earlier today. Did Michelle get banged up in that game, Murray?
That's news to me. I didn't, I've been in and out all day, so I didn't hear that.
Okay. I thought Beadle might have mentioned. I mean, that might explain it, but they've been leery of Michelle in short yard situations all season long. So, I mean, I don't know whether he's hurt or not. That wasn't surprising. Again, I know it's a broken record for me. I think their line has been exceptional. Their line play has been tremendous. And that's a big part of the running game. But Brady, was he touched? I mean, barely touched. He wasn't sacked in that ball game, and the protection there was tremendous. So I think their offensive line play has been stellar all season long, and a stellar through the playoffs. Big factor last night. Carlton in Norwell, he joins us next. Go ahead, let's get this over with. Hi, Carlton.
not so blind who will not see. With 1 minute to go in the game, third down and 10 from the Kansas City Chiefs 34-yard line, D. Ford, not Jones, lines up offsides. None of the Patriots know it because he doesn't jump offsides. He just lined up offsides. Tom Brady throws a horrendous pass at the line of scrimmage to Gronkowski, but it's way high, and it gets picked off, and it's end of game except for lining up offsides. At that point in time, guys, Tom Brady has a passer rating for the game of 63.2. Mahomes, at that point in the game, had a passer rating of 116. Tom Brady would have had one TD, three interceptions, 263 passing yards. That passer rating is worse than all 33 NFL quarterbacks who qualified with enough attempts for the full season this year.
Okay, Carlton, let me just stop you there. We'll get to D. Ford. Again, I called him Jones. We'll get to D. Ford here coming up.
How'd Patrick Mahomes look in that first half?
Okay, so go ahead, Murray. You want to respond?
This is where I've said before, this kid looks tight, and it feels like some of these games that have been in prime time against the Rams, against the Seahawks on Monday night here in that first half in October, he just feels like at times the moment's too big for him, and that's what it felt like in that first half of that game, and it ultimately ended up biting him in the ass. And
how about Brady?
Brady gets a B-plus for me. Look, the interception he throws into the end zone where they could go up 14-0 and step in this team's throat, absolutely atrocious. Other than that, those other picks, including the one that ultimately didn't count thanks to D. Ford, they clanged off the hands of his receivers, Gronkowski and Edelman. Other than that, he spread the ball to eight different receivers. He was nails in the fourth quarter and unbelievable in overtime. And again, the third down numbers. So I'm sorry. You want to crow about, you know, what his passer rating would have ended up if he ended up throwing that interception? Fine. Be that way. Go nuts. Because there were some bad throws he made last night. But overall, when you needed him the most, he was Tom Brady at his best.
I mean, to me, I look at Brady's performance in that game, and he's in the BB plus range. He's somewhere. All I'm saying is he wasn't an A. That's all. Like, I think people instinctively on the, you know, after a win like that, oh, yeah, Brady brought us back again. And he did. But, man, there were some bad throws, and not just the picks. I mean, there were some that he threw behind Gronk.
Yes.
Like, there were enough. I could probably rattle off five or six throws at least in that game right now. That's not a good throw either. You know, he wasn't totally on top of his game, but when the game was on the line on those third down plays, holy crap, was he on the money. He was nails, particularly with Edelman. And so you got to weigh those a little bit more. He was dynamite on those throws.
Absolutely. Mary in Manchester, she's up next. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. What a thrilling night it was last night. That was such
unreal.
A great game. But I you just mentioned the interception that Brady threw in the end zone, and I that stayed with me all night. I thought that I actually was going to, you know, come back to bite them in the end. I'm so happy it didn't. And I just want to say, I hope that this underdog status, you know, continues, and that they're not the heavy favorite next in the Super Bowl, because I think it really suits them well to have harnessed that sort of, you know, underdog status that they were.
No question, Mary. They started off, if I read this right, they started off as 1-point favorites, but were bet into the underdog. Or no, the opposite. They were 1-point underdogs, but now they're 1-point favorites because all the early money was on New England. Is that what it was, Murray?
Last night, postgame, it started as a pick 'em, and then the Patriots were favored by -2. So I don't know if that's changed since overnight.
Yeah, so the money's on New England.
Yeah.
Most people think you're going to win, which they've got to somehow turn against themselves, or you know, turned against the people and use it to their advantage. You got something, Maz?
No, I was going to say, the last I saw, I think they were favored by 2 or 2.5. And so, you know, to me, this game's a toss-up. That's what that is.
So do we still feel it's a toss-up? And if it's a toss-up, who do you favor?
Patriots.
I mean, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, just their ability to perform under pressure, particularly the quarterback. And now, look, you know, it was a little bit of a dare I say, like a renaissance game for Gronk in some ways. I'm not telling you he was great, but he was a factor.
Definitely.
And he made some big plays, and he's been a force on the line of scrimmage. And now they get another week off on top of it. So I think that will benefit Edelman. That will benefit Gronk. It'll benefit Brady, because you are talking about some players with some miles on them. And so if it's a close game, how do you not have faith in their ability to pull it out at this stage?
Okay, Murray has an update coming up next. Perhaps one of the biggest penalties in Patriots history. I don't think that's an exaggeration to say that. We'll set it up, give you the particular right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere here on Felger and Maz.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Filger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady takes the snap, dropping back, throws it right underneath, off the hands of Gronkowski, intercepted. It's picked off, and then the ball comes loose from Tarvarius Ward, careening out of bounds along the near side. An interception off the hands of Edelman, and then an interception off the hands of Gronkowski. There's a penalty marker on the other side of the field. There's Cleet Blakeman, the referee.
Oh, my.
Offside. Defense. Oh,
wow.
55. Lineman in the neutral zone. The 5-yard penalty will replay third down.
Dee Ford's offsides. I think one of the biggest penalties in Patriots history. Think about it. Just the swing there. That's the ball game, folks. That's the ball game. That's not just Carlton and they're ranting. That's it. That's ball game is over on that play. There's a minute and 1 second left. That was 3rd and 10. If Dee Ford is not lined up offsides, that interception stands because it was ruled an interception and fumbled out of bounds. It would have been Kansas City ball at whatever, about their 40-yard line, right around there, with under a minute left. And I'm not sure what kind of timeouts the Patriots had. They might have had all three. I think the Pats had all three timeouts. So the Chiefs are kicking the ball away then. You know, even if they just take three knees, they're kicking the ball away with whatever, 45 seconds. You get the ball back with 40 seconds left-ish with no timeouts, needing a touchdown. So, well, okay, I don't want to say 100% over, but that thing's pretty much over. That thing's pretty much over. And do we all still believe this is Rob Gronkowski's last season? And if so, that's how Rob Gronkowski goes out. That's how Tom Brady's season ends, with a 3-interception game in the AFC Championship game on the road, and whatever his quarterback rating was at the time of that interception. Carlton had it in the 60s or something. And that's how we wrap up this season. That's how we wrap up this season. Gronkowski finishes on that play. Tom Brady's season, 3 interceptions on the road in the AFC title game. Another loss on the road in the AFC title game. Do you understand what a swing that is from where we are right now? Do you understand how seismic that penalty was by Dee Ford?
I'll tell you what, I'll do you one better. I think it's one of the biggest penalties in NFL history. I'm not joking. How do you line up in the neutral zone? How do you do that?
Donkey. You have got to be kidding me. And I still want to see, I'm not saying it was the wrong call. He was obviously at least had his hand over the line. But I would like to see just how badly he was. The camera angle they show, you know, when we're showing the picture on TV, it's, you know, it's not straight down the line. I'd still like to see a straight down the line shot of it just to see how bad it is, just because I'm curious. Like, how do you do that?
Right, initially, when the flag came out, we heard it, because I same thing. I'm like, this game's over, that's it. And all of a sudden, wait, what? Yellow? There's a flag? Huh? I thought he jumped. No, it's just that he's lined up incorrectly. Like, you idiot. Unbelievable. It reminded me of what happened in 2006 in San Diego, where it's like, the game's over. Ah, that's brutal interception. Wait, what happened? You're like, you have life here? Unbelievable.
Well, and especially when you factor in how invisible he was the whole night.
Never heard his name until that point.
I mean, really, like, the key defensive guys there, we all know, it's the three guys up front. It's Jones, it's Houston, it's Dee Ford. And Ford, you could argue that this guy's a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. He forced 7 fumbles this year. 7 forced fumbles. 13.5 sacks. The guy's been a one-man wrecking crew. He was invisible up until the point he didn't know how to line up.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable, or believable, because it's just, this is what happens. This is what has happened in these last 20 years. The Patriots come up big, and the opponent does something like that. But to me, the swing, oh man, the swing of where we are today, Tom Brady on a 3-interception day, Rob Gronkowski's epitaph, if again, we think this is his last season, was that ball going through his hands to cost them the game in Kansas City. And the swing from that to where we are here, where we're talking about the ultimate winners, making the ultimate winning play at the ultimate moment, you know, and here we go for their ninth Super Bowl, going for their sixth championship. The swing there on that one alignment by Dee Ford is huge. I think, again, one of the biggest calls in Patriots history. Speaking of calls, let's go back to the phones. We've got Tom in the car. He wants to weigh in on the officiating last night. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Jay, hi. How are you?
Good.
Just a quick observation. When Michelle came off the field in the third period the last two times, he was limping. So I would guess that he's hurt. But what I did call for is, it was kind of funny. At the end of the NFC Championship game, when they talked to the guy sitting at the table, Boomer came out and ripped the NFL and
sure
the referee in this season. And he said that something has to be done. I was surprised that he was as blatant about it as he was. I was just wondering your thoughts on that, if you saw that or not.
If I'm a Patriots fan,
off and on, but he came out on national TV and ripped the officiating in the NFL, and I'm wondering, they're going to have to respond to that?
Well, I don't know if Boomer gets in trouble or not for that, but the Patriots fans shouldn't be complaining. The close calls that were called right were close calls that could have gone against you, and they didn't. They called them properly. The calls that they screwed up in your favor for the most part. So if I'm a Patriots fan today, I feel pretty good about the officiating. It's just, you know, what a joke that we had to hear all last week. What would he call him? Snakeman?
Yeah, Snakeman.
Yeah, the co-conspirator. This guy's going to cost you the game. When, if anything, he helped you. He helped you. The officials helped you big time last night, both by getting close calls right or just screwing up in your favor. And so, maybe the league wants you to win. If you had lost that game and a couple of close calls had gone against you, I would have had to hear all week how the league doesn't want you to win. Well, maybe the league didn't want Kansas City to win. You ever think of that? Is that possible, that they wanted you back in that game? Maybe that's the case. Well, let's just be consistent. That's what we would have said if the Pats had lost the game on a couple of close calls, right? Isn't that what we'd have been saying? The league doesn't want you in the game? So you win the game on a couple of close calls. The league must want you in. That's nice. Second straight year. Second straight year, Cleet Blakeman hooks you up in the AFC Championship game. That must feel pretty good. Billy in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Billy.
Felger, quit crying. That's all I got to tell you. Quit crying. When that whistle blows before any game, that whatever happens in the game is done by people that play the game.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
so he's offside, regardless.
Yeah. If a couple calls go against the Patriots, that's what I want to hear the Monday after the Super Bowl.
About that play.
It's refereed by human beings.
That guy was offside.
They
called it offside, and that's the game. So what does it matter? He did it, and they caught the play. That's nothing wrong with that at all. Secondly, I told you Dorsett was going to have a big game. He caught one touchdown this week and one last week.
So let me stop there. To me, a big thing in this ball game was Hogan.
Absolutely.
Yep. Because we talked about, you know, who's going to be the Amendola? Who's going to be the Amendola guy? Who's going to be that guy? And, it was Hogan in this game. That's a huge development for when this is going to be another game like this in 2 weeks against the Rams in the fourth quarter. That's huge that Hogan's back in the circle of trust, or Brady will still go to him in that situation. I think that's really important.
And that catch that he made was third and eight. I mean, that was, you know, again, one-handed, reaches out, grabs the ball. Like, that's the kind of catch that an Edelman or a Gronk, historically, or an Amendola, has historically made. And again, big-time plays by big-time players. Not that Hogan's the same type of player as those other guys. But you're talking about how many of those did they have?
Unbelievable.
Third and eight, third and ten, third and ten, third and ten, three of them in overtime. They got them all, every single one of them. It was unbelievable.
Do you have something there, Murray?
How efficient he was in that overtime, on the way he threw to Edelman on third down, that first one picking up 20 yards, and those were not easy catches, especially the second one that Edelman made. It was essentially on a postage stamp. It's as good as he's been in that time of a clutch moment, you know, since Super Bowl 51 against Atlanta in that fourth quarter against Seattle. It was that kind of performance to me.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts, and, we're going to see if I'm going to pay off a debt or not. We're going to see. My team, my staff put it under protest last night. My staff was so put off by the officiating that, initially we put this thing under protest. I'm going to see where it stands when we come up next.
Sucks.
My staff is still assessing the situation. We'll talk about it right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second and goal to go. Snap from the right hash mark. Two tight ends left. An extra tackle right. Out of the eye with Devlin, the fullback for Michelle. Short motion by Allen, left with the reset. A give to Michelle. Runs it left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots. New England strikes first.
That's the way you open up an AFC title game on the road. You get your offense out there, and you take 15 plays, and you shove it right down their throat with your rookie running back. That is a big boy drive. 15 plays, 80 yards. More importantly, 8 minutes and 5 seconds you took off the clock. And Pat Mahomes has not touched the football.
There's a lot of mentally tough players in that locker room, a lot of physically tough players in that locker room, a lot of guys that just go out and compete and won't quit and just battle you, no matter what the score situation. They just go out there and compete and let the chips fall where they may, and I think that's a good way to do it.
Okay, Maz, a lot of people have been giving Bill Belichick credit for his game plans on this one. What's your assessment of that?
I mean, I'm all for giving Belichick credit, too. I like the game plan, but I will say there was nothing overly fancy about it. You know, that now look, at you get credit for making the right choice. But the bottom line is they went against a great offense and said, we're going to milk the clock, slow it down, and slow the game down. I think a lot of us said that that should be the game plan going in. That's all. Now, they executed it, and I think it was the right way to go about it. But, you know, it's not as if they devised some sort of, you know, master plan that was completely from out in left field and no one saw it coming. That's my only point on it. In a lot of ways, I give them more credit for what they did defensively, particularly in the first half again.
What do you think they did?
Oh, I think they get up, they played aggressive, they dared Mahomes to beat him down the field, they brought pressure. And to me, I look at this Patriots defense this year and I say, now this feels like a modern NFL defense, what we've been wanting the Patriots to do for a long time, which is it's a different kind of league now. And it's hard to sort of just bottle up people and stop them in the red zone. The whole bend, don't break, and play it conservatively. You have to try to make plays. You've got to bring pressure. You've got to do those sorts of things. And I thought they did a lot more of that under Flores. Now, look, in the second half, I mean, the Chiefs were running wild. They did it again, by the way, 12 minutes. This time they scored. In the game in week 6, the Chiefs scored 31 points in 10 minutes in the second half.
Insane.
This took them 12. Really, think about it. In the 2 second halves, the Chiefs had the ball for 22 minutes. 22 minutes. They scored 62 points in those 2 second halves. I mean, I think that speaks volumes as to how that explosive that offense is and how Belichick knew it. That he knew he probably wasn't going to be able to stop him, so they had to keep the ball away.
And what's crazy is, just real quick, in that game last night, they did it without Tyreek Hill. He had one catch on the night. He was neutralized last night, so you're basically doing that with Sammy Watkins.
I'll tell you, the running game, I think the running game this week was a little different than last week in that the San Diego game, the Patriots early on, when they got into third downs, they had to throw. And they picked up first downs and extended drives throwing. This week, there were running plays there on 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5. And they picked them up consistently. So I feel like, you know, you have more of a case for the running game this week than you did last week. I would still say it's sort of nice to be able to run it a couple times when you got Tom Brady on third down. You know what I'm saying? It still, to me, starts with Tom Brady throwing for 350. And it still starts with me with Tom Brady on third down with Edelman and that group. And I think that gives you freedom to maybe not waste some early downs, but use those early downs to, you know, run clock, keep the ball away from the opponent, all those other things. And they still got to their point total. So, you know, it was a good balanced effort from the Patriots. And the game plan, I agree with you, Maz. Simple, but good.
But effective,
and
the coaching, right.
Yeah, the coaching mismatch was still there. Like, you know, for example, let me just bring up Dan in Bellingham, because maybe Dan wants to hit on something that I wanted to hit on as well. Dan in Bellingham, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Go ahead, Dan.
You got exactly, Felger. Let's pick on Andy Reid now. I mean, I'm happy he did it, but when the Patriots are driving to the to your red zone and your team's backed up against it, there's plenty of time on the clock. There's no need whatsoever to save those timeouts at this point. They allowed the Patriots to line up and do exactly what they wanted to do and score a touchdown. They never gave their defense a chance to rest. They were clearly gassed. Even the broadcasters brought it up. And I just couldn't believe this guy didn't spend one or at least two, even two timeouts. And there was no, he looked like a deer in the headlights on the sideline.
Oh, my God. Okay. When he was standing up, did you notice Andy Reid sitting down a couple
yes,
times?
Yes. Yes. I'm glad you brought this up. Buried in his play sheet while his defense was on the field.
There's one thing. We see plenty of coaches now, head buried in the play sheet while the defense is on the field because they only control one side of the ball. Have you ever seen him go sit down?
No.
He was sitting down? Oh, my goodness. Oh,
he saw some new specials on that Cheesecake Factory menu. He had, he had to brace himself.
That, to me, that was like, oh, God. Oh, my God. No. Don't tell me he's sitting. And he wasn't even looking at the Cheesecake Factory menu, Murray. He was just sort of like shalumped.
Just
he was
gassed.
Just sort of like, oh, my God, get up. You can't. No. Your football team's on the field, Andy. You can't sit down. Don't sit down. You're sitting down. Oh, my God. So that, you know, when did I know I was in trouble? When I saw Andy Reid sitting down. Last week against the Chargers, I knew I was in trouble. When the kicker doinked it off the fullback's ass on the opening kickoff, I said, ay vey, here we go. This one, when it's 7-0, 14-0 in the first half, and they cut to fat Andy Reid sitting, sitting on the bench, not even really watching what's going on the field as his team is trailing in the AFC title game. And that, well, so if you've been with us here for a while, you know what's at stake for me in this ball game. We'll just reset it one more time. This happened today in August during training camp. Maz was off. It was me, Murray, and mild-mannered Tim McCone. You have fill-in update guy here on the Sports Hub. He's an anchorman down in Providence, a very mild-mannered, straight-laced anchorman who was filling in on the news, filling in on the updates for us. And I was so convinced that this wasn't the Patriots' year, I said the following. With this group, at this age, coming off of no work in the spring, then, you know,
yeah, it could be his greatest accomplishment.
You will be allowed to put a ball gag in me, McCone. You can ball gag me and tie me up and put me in the corner and do whatever you want with me. Okay?
Hard
so
pass,
that
yeah.
If he drags this group to the Super Bowl, ball gag me and throw me in the corner. Oh, God. So here we are. I told you last night I put the game under protest. Because the officiating got a little stupid there for a while. So I didn't want to be victimized by bad officiating, but I've now, my team has looked it over. My staff has looked it over. I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of honor. So, McBone, are you there?
I am.
Okay. So, McCone, you're going to come in tomorrow night. We're going to do this tomorrow night. You're going to ball gag me, right?
I am. It was tough asking my boss for time off so I could go ball gag a middle-aged man, but I'll be there.
Does your station know you're going to ball gag me, or have you not told them yet?
I have not told them yet, no. I'm going to see if this can fly under the radar in Providence, yeah.
Don't tell them. So it's better to, you know, ask for forgiveness than seek permission, okay? So I said this, I think, last week because I want this to hurt. This is hurt. I was really committed on this. I was committed on this all year. Not your year. You didn't put in the work. Brady didn't show up in the spring. You can't expect to win at the same level when you don't put in the same amount of work. I mean, that's just – I've just been bellowing that for, you know, 4 months. So I've – this one hurts. I want you to make it hurt, McBone, okay?
Look, I'm just happy you didn't say I'm calling on the expert hotline because this is a first for me. We'll get through it, but, yeah, I'm excited for it.
Okay, so I want you to kick me in the scrotum. Okay, I'm gonna stand there naked with the ball gag, and you're gonna unleash and just kick me in the scrotum repeatedly. Okay,
you just gotta think of a safe word, maybe like Sony Michelle or something like that. That way we know when we've crossed the line.
Okay, McBone, the ball gagging's tomorrow night.
All right, I'll see you there.
Okay, see you there. Okay, McBone's gonna ball gag me. That's gonna happen.
Mild.
We'll put it on Facebook Live, and we'll do something.
He's gonna call in sick, and then they're gonna see him on the simulcast ball gagging you.
Mild mannered McCone. I asked him on Saturday. He was in with Gasper and I. Have you cleared this with HR here? And he's like, no.
Nope. Again, it's better to ask for forgiveness than seek permission. We're just gonna go ahead and ball gag the kid. You know what? I mean, I'm not done. I still got one game left. I lost the bet. I'm gonna get ball gagged. All right. So that's the way that is. But there's still another game to play, folks. This isn't over. It caught up to you because you were on the road in the AFC title game. You survived it thanks to some kind officiating. So, okay, all things equal. Here you are. You survived it. I'm wrong. I'm going to get ball gagged. We still have another game to go. One more game to go. We'll get back to phones. No commercials here. A quick update from Murray, and we're right back.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.